You're listening to the weekly podcast with Pastor Steve McCoy from 360 Church in Sarasota, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to press beyond ordinary.
I got a question for you. How many of you grew up surrounded by a community of people that had an influence or an impact on your life? Could you raise your hand for me? So a lot of us, right? So what we understand about community is that when we have people around us that can impact us and influence us, it really has a positive effect on our lives. And the flip side of that is that we've probably seen and heard of people who were not surrounded by the right community or surrounded by a community, a positive community, and we've seen what can happen in their lives as well. And so really what I'm going to talk about today is the case for community. And you've probably, if you've been coming to 360 for a while, you probably understand what community is. So here's my prayer today, that God will help you walk out with something that you can take and you can begin to apply in your life. So here's what I want to land on today. So if you're like, well, I need something, Steve, here's what I want to land on today, and that's this. Your relationship with God is designed by God to grow in community. Let me say that again. If you don't get anything else today, if you walk out with this, this will help you. Your relationship with God is designed by God to grow in community. So the New Testament is 27 books long, and it starts with Matthew. And the New Testament gives us these two pictures of what community really is for a follower of Jesus Christ. The first one is this. It's family. The first picture that he gives us is family. So you're going to see a picture of my family up there, and I'm going to talk more about them later. But that's my family. It's about a year and a half old picture, so that's about all we got right now. And maybe when you think about that, you were like, oh my goodness, if the picture in my mind is the family of God is like my family, I am in trouble, right? Because maybe you're thinking, my family drives me crazy. You never heard the phrase, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family? Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. All right. Maybe you thought about your family when I said that and you're thinking, okay, I was abandoned by my family. I'm disconnected from my family. My family is just this, they fight all the time. They're dysfunctional. They're unreliable. And maybe that's where your mind went. And I understand that. I understand that. But what God wants us to know today at 360, and whether you're online or whether you're here in person, is that the spiritual family of God is really incredibly important to God. Nearly 250 times in the New Testament, followers of Christ are referred to this, either brothers or sisters or members of God's family. Think about that for just a minute. In 27 books, almost 250 times, they're called brothers, sisters, or the family of God. And Jesus even taught this. This is even an incredible thing. And I know there's a lot of you here that will resonate with this. Jesus said that as a follower of Jesus, we have been adopted into God's family. So family is really, really important to God. Here's the second picture that the New Testament gives us, and that is this. It's that we are a part of the body, and a part of the body that depends on, guess what? Other parts of the body. See, Jesus taught that we're dependent on each other, that no part of the body functions by itself, but that the body nourishes itself through one another. We're not alone. We're not by ourselves. We're a part of something bigger. And so the church, which is God's family, is this living, breathing organism where every part belongs to one another. And that's how we get into this case for community. See, we belong together. Not apart. Hey, listen, think about it this way. Even God himself is not alone. God had himself, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be really honest. Even as a pastor, the idea of three in one kind of blows my mind a little bit. All right? Maybe it does for you too. But there was fellowship among the three of them, among God, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. There was this connectiveness. See, we are to grow in community. And when we're with Jesus, when we spend time with Jesus, guess what? We become a little more like Jesus. That's kind of a cool thing, isn't it? And then we get to go do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? We're going to talk about that today. So here's the three questions. If you're one of those people, you go, Steve, I just want to know where you're going. Here's three questions I want to answer today. Here's the first one. What does biblical community actually look like? So if you're writing down, you might want to say, okay, that's one of the questions Steve's going to answer today. That's right. So right out of the scripture, that's one. What does biblical community look like? Because if our relationship with God is designed by God to grow in community, we need to know what that actually looks like to be in community, right? Here's a second one. Why is community necessary? Why is it even necessary? And here's number three. What are some of the benefits of being in community? Now, I know some of you are going, good, I'm finally getting to the good stuff there. I want to know what some of those benefits are. We're going to talk about that as well. But I have another question for you. How many of you would raise your hand if you believe this? How many of you believe that God designed you with a plan and a purpose for your life? Would you raise your hand if you believe that? How many of you would raise your hand if you agree with this? When I get to the end of my life, it would be great if I have actually achieved the plan and the purpose God has for my life. How many of you would say, that's me right there? Me too. Well, guess what? To become all that God created you to be, guess what? It requires community. If you want to get to the end of your life and have a plan, you say, Jesus, I fulfilled my plan. I fulfilled my purpose. The only way that is going to happen, ready, is in community. It requires community. See, you and I cannot be all God created us to be alone. It actually requires community. You can't grow to where God wants you to go without walking with others in community. It's impossible to do. So biblically speaking, community comes from a word, it's called ecclesia, and it simply means an assembly or a gathering of people. It can mean all Christians, or it can mean the global church or the local church, kind of like here at 360. But it's about people that say, you know what, I want to be devoted to God. I want to be obedient to God. I want to follow God. I want to get to the end of my life and say, God, I fulfilled the plan and the purpose you had for me. So let me give you a snapshot of what biblical community looks like. And it's just found in one passage. If you have your Bibles, you can open them up or you can turn them on your phone or whatever that looks like. And we're going to look at Acts chapter 2. You've probably heard this scripture before. And we're going to look at it. Here it is. It's found in Acts 2, 42 to 47. Let me read it. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper or communion, whatever you call it, and to prayer. So think about those three things: fellowship, sharing in meals, and prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Now check this out. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper. So they meet at the temple, they meet in each other's homes. They share the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. That in itself is pretty incredible. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at this, I want to be a part of that kind of a church. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, these people had it going on. Hey, there's a need. Guess what? It's covered. We got it covered. Wow. Well, how's that? Well, I have the resources to meet that need, so I'm gonna meet that need. There was no hesitation. There was no delay. It was like, listen, we're here to take care of one another. Those are people who were walking with God in community, in a true sense of the community that God had designed for them and what a community actually should look like. Now, here's what's really interesting about that. They weren't just meeting. They were meeting at the temple. They were meeting in homes. They were meeting in the courtyards. They were meeting wherever it was. So here's the real kind of thing I want to just sit on for just a minute. See, you and I don't really just attend church. If you're a follower of Christ today, and you're here today, or you're online, you are the church. Now, let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. It's not just about attending church. The truth is, the New Testament kind of has a paradigm shift, and the paradigm shift is this: you and I are the church. Some of you right now just went, I don't understand that. That means that you and I are called by God to actually go out into the world and be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. We are the church. So what does that look like? Remember I said I wanted to talk about what community looked like. Well, here's the first thing. If you're writing notes or you're keeping notes, maybe this will help you. Biblical community involves this, belonging. It involves belonging. Now, you're here today, so you're thinking, okay, I'm preaching to the choir, Steve. I might be. But it involves belonging to one another. And the Apostle Paul begins to write in Romans about this belonging. In Romans chapter 12, here's what we find. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. Who's he talking about? He's talking about you and I being the church. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. Now, here's what I know. As a person who loves people, and I'm just I'm an extrovert, I love people. So by the way, after church, I'm going to be back there, and Matt's going to be hanging out with me and kind of guiding me back there because I get lost here. I'm not sure exactly where everything's at. And I hope you come by and say hi because I genuinely love people. Here's what I know. Everybody has a longing for belonging. Every single one of us. God has built that into us. He has DNA'd that into you and I, that we have a longing to belong. And here's what I also know. If you talk to psychologists, they'll tell you this. The greatest need that people have is to be known. Some of you right now went, I don't know about that. Yeah, that's what they tell us. The greatest need, our greatest need as a human being is to be known. Guess what our greatest fear is? To be known. Somebody got it. You're going, wait a minute. Our greatest need is to be known, but our greatest fear is to be known. Yep, that's exactly right. We want people to know us, but we're afraid to let people know us because we're afraid if people know us, they won't actually like us. That's what psychologists tell us. We actually belong to one another. And that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying we belong to one another. We are all part of this body. Now let's take a look at what he says right here as he continues on. In his grace. Think about that. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if you're here today, here's some gifts. If God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, and by the way, I came in this morning and I was greeted by all kinds of people. It was wonderful. It was very, very kind this morning. I was greeted very warmly and they were doing a great job. If your gift is to serve others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, I love encouragers. How many of you love people that encourage you? Yeah, me too. Be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift, listen to this, a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. He takes this gift. Is this an exhaustive list? No, but it is a lot of what God wants to see in our local community, in our local church building, even though we are the church in the church building. He wants us to take these gifts and to use them to serve one another. And then he lays down, I mean, man, this is the gauntlet right here. Listen to these words. Don't just pretend to love others. Oh, I don't know about you, but that's painful to look at. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. He says, man, we can't just pretend. We actually have to use these gifts to serve one another. Why? Because we love God and we love others. And we want to use our gift to make an impact and an influence in their lives. That's what community is about. See, love is so much more than an emotion. So much more than an emotion. It's an action. See, here's what I'm learning in my life. And I don't want to step on your toes, but I'm just going to throw it out there anyway. Spiritual maturity isn't about how much we know. It's really about how much we love. Bottom line, it's about how much you and I love. That's what spiritual maturity is. If somebody says, man, I know the whole Bible and they don't love, they're a clanging gong or a resounding cymbal. That's just a fact. It's about how much we love one another. And really, if you think about it, love that doesn't flow into the lives of other people and actually make a difference in their life isn't really that much of love, is it? Really isn't love. So, We belong to one another. What else does biblical community do? It involves this. Biblical community involves being engaged. It involves engagement. Every single person in this room and listening online has a gift. Why? Because it says that in His grace, God gave us gifts. It doesn't say in His grace, God gave some people gifts or a few people gifts. It says in His grace, God gave you and I gifts. And we are to use those gifts to encourage and build up one another in community, in our spiritual family. So what does that mean? That means that we can't let some attitudes creep into our community like, yeah, they don't really need me. They don't really need me. Or, you know what, my gift really isn't that important. I mean, I can sweep floors really good, but really, what kind of difference does that make? Let me tell you something, it makes a lot of difference. See, we can't let those attitudes begin to creep into our community. We've got to say, listen, I've got a gift. I'm going to use it. It's important in the community of Jesus Christ. It's important in the context of the local church. And I want to use that gift. I want to be engaged in using my gift to actually make a difference in the kingdom of God. See, here's the thing. Community is not created by simply showing up at a church building on a Sunday morning. That's not how it works. It takes so much more than that. It takes contributing, because when we just show up and we take a seat, really what we're doing is we're just consuming. But when we come in and we say, you know what, I'm going to talk to people today. I'm going to say hi to somebody I don't know. I'm going to sign up for the greeter team. I'm going to sign up to help with the children's department in the back and love on these kids and begin to teach them about Jesus Christ and about how He can change their lives and how when He changes their lives, He begins to change the lives of the people around them. All of a sudden, we are using our gifts to pour into the community and make a difference in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. How many of you had a cup of coffee this morning when you came in over here? How many of you would have been really happy if you'd have come in this morning and there'd have been no coffee? How many of you who love coffee? How many of you love coffee and you'd have been really frustrated if you'd come in and there's no coffee? Let's be honest. Come on, raise them hands. Some of you are going, yeah, that's me. I've had six cups. That's a gift. Somebody came in this morning early and got all that coffee together. And we're all grateful for that. See, it's not just about showing up at church. It's about actually contributing. It's not just consuming. It's being a contributor in the community, in the body of Jesus Christ. And it takes people who are committed to using those gifts. Let me ask you, are you committed to using your gift in this community? That's a question for you and me to answer. Are you committed to using your gift to serve one another? Well, the Apostle Paul continues on, but he does it a little differently in a different chapter, in a different book. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12, and this is what Paul says. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is, ready, with the body of Christ. That's all of us. We're the church. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all, that means every one of us, been baptized into one body by, ready, one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So if you're a follower of Jesus today, and if you're not yet, man, I hope that you get there. I would love to talk to you afterwards if you want to get there and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. But if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we all share the same Spirit, God's Spirit. And so the case for community is really about God's Spirit coming into our lives and working in our lives and us beginning to say, I'm going to use my gift. I'm going to serve others. I'm going to actually be the church. I'm going to contribute and I'm going to make a difference. And when that happens, guess what? God's Spirit begins to move in such a way we begin to operate in, here's a crazy word, unity. Now, we start looking around our world today. I don't know about you, but I see one of the most disunified worlds I've ever been a part of in my life. Anybody else agreeing with that? Yeah. God says He wants us to operate in unity. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're on the outside looking in, and you actually see a group of people who are the church, who are coming to church on a Sunday, and they're using their gifts to serve one another, and you see a group of people who actually love one another and are working in unity, do you think that's attractive? Yep, it is. And that's what God is saying through the Scripture, through the Apostle Paul. He's saying all of us together working to function as a cohesive unity, leaning into those God-given gifts. But he goes on and he says this, yes, the body has many different parts. We know that, not just one part. If the foot says, this is pretty funny, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? Of course not. And if the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Something to think about, isn't it? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? See, it's each part of the body saying, I'm going to perform, I'm going to use my gift, the gift that God has given to me, because we all have a gift that says, again, in his grace, God gave us gifts to serve one another. That's healthy community. And then it goes on and says this, but our bodies have many parts. He reminds us again. And God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye, right here, can never say to the hand, right here, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. See, biblical community involves a dependency on one another. Let me give you an example. It says the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. Eye to the hand, or the head to the feet. Let's just say that you're at the house, and you look across the room, and you look over into the kitchen on your counter, and there is a six-pack of chocolate chip cookies from Chick-fil-A. Uh-huh. How many of you like chocolate chip cookies? Let me tell you what, Chick-fil-A's got the market on this thing, man. I'm telling you, you start on one of them. I'm going to tell you a true story. I hate to admit this. For an entire year when Chick-fil-A had their cookies come out, I literally said to myself, I don't want to start on them because I'm afraid I won't be able to stop. And then one day they were walking around with free samples and I surrendered and gave in and I haven't stopped eating them since. It's pitiful. It's pitiful. So you're in your kitchen or you're in your house in the living room and you're looking across and you see those cookies and you're like, man, I want one of those cookies. Your eye sees them and your eyes just said to your hand, yeah, well, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not you, so I don't need you, buddy. And the head goes, yeah, but I really want a cookie. But I just said to my feet, well, you're not a part of the body, so I don't need you. So the eye and the head are looking at that six pack of cookies. You're going, man, I want one of those cookies. And the hand that opens the bag goes, yeah, sorry, you just told me I'm not a part of the body, so I'm not helping you. And the feet go, oh, yeah, well, I'm not going to get up off the couch and walk over there and go to the pack of cookies because you told me I don't need you. See what happens? We're dependent on one another. But when the eye says to the feet, the hand, hey, we're in this thing together, and I'm going to use my gift, and you're going to use your gift, and we can work this thing out. And the head says to the feet, guess what? I see those cookies. And I want you to walk me over there and we're going to get one of those cookies and we're going to work together. See, we are dependent on one another. And Paul ties up this section and he says this, all of you together, all of us together, every single person in here and online, we together are Christ's body and each one of us is a part of it. So that is what community looks like. But why is community even necessary? Because interdependence, not independence, really is what God's plan is for our family. Interdependence, not independence. And if we don't know what's going on with somebody else, how can we actually minister to them? Right? See, if we come in here and we put on our nice face and everything's perfect, and we all look good, and we act like everything's good, but we're really, really dying inside, and we're not willing to share that with anybody, it's kind of hard to minister to somebody. See, here's what's incredible is that we can't one another without one another. We can't one another without one another. And if you've been around 360, you've probably heard this. 58 times in the New Testament, there are commands to one another. Let me give you a few of them. Love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, support one another, pray for one another, forgive one another, greet one another, accept one another, honor one another, share with one another, bear one another's burdens, be devoted to one another, look out for one another. That's just a sampling. God's design is that we engage our lives together and we go through life together, and that is what community truly is. In other words, you and I need a spiritual family. We were created for community, and God never created the local church to be optional. Let me say that again. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here today. God never created the local church to be optional. Outside of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the New Testament is written in the context of local churches. See, it's designed to be worked out in community. So here's what I want to do today. I want you to look to your left or right, whichever direction you want to look, or if there's nobody to your left or right, maybe beside you or behind you, or in front of you, and you say this to somebody, I'm not perfect. Go ahead, ready? Some of you are having way too much fun with this. Yeah, well, guess what? Now guess what you get to look at him and say? You're not perfect. Some of you are really going to love this one. Ernie? I'm not perfect. Some of you have been waiting all your life to say that to somebody. Here's the last thing you're going to say to them. Ready? But we need each other. Go ahead, say it to them. Matt, we need each other. All right? We need each other. So what are some of the benefits of being in community? Well, let me give you a few things we say we don't, these are reasons that we don't engage sometimes in biblical community. Here's the first one. I don't have time. You're here today, so you gave up your time. You're online watching, so you gave up some time. I don't have time. Listen, if you want to be everything that you have been called and purposed and planned by God to be, you're going to have to give some time. You're going to have to put that small group on the calendar. You're going to have to put that one-on-one meeting with somebody on the calendar. And guess what? You're going to have to decide what's important and put it on your calendar, because if you don't, everybody else will take that time on your calendar. They'll decide what you're going to be doing instead of you deciding what you're going to be doing. So I don't have time. That's one of the reasons we throw out. Here's another one. I've been hurt in the past. Ooh. Been there. Listen, I don't know if you understand this or not, but we just all admitted that we're not perfect, which means that sometimes we're going to let other people down and sometimes we're going to hurt people. I hope we do that always unintentionally, not intentionally in the church. But we just admitted we weren't perfect. So sometimes in the church, you can get hurt. Some of you have been hurt by the church. I have been hurt by the church. So let me ask you this. Would you, if you have been hurt by the church and you've been betrayed by the church, would you just allow the Holy Spirit to begin to chip away just a little bit? Just chip away at that wall. Would you start to ease back in? Would you start slow? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to just say to you, hey, listen, I've got you? Because we can't one another without one another. And here's the last reason sometimes that we don't jump into community. I can do it on my own. And here's the truth. We can sit at home and we can say, you know what, instead of going to church, I'm just going to go online. There's so much at the touch of a button. I can go online. I can hear a sermon. I can hear this. I can hear that. I can do whatever. That is so true. You can sit on your back lanai every Sunday morning and you can hear some of the best speakers from all over the entire world. I agree with that. My question is that actually going to change you? Because here's what I know. If you and I could do it on our own, and we can make the changes on our own, and we can make the changes we need to make on our own, then we would have already made the changes we need to make on our own. The problem is we probably haven't. Why? Because we can't do it on our own. If we could do it on our own, we would. So here's some benefits. If you're the person that's sitting there today and you're like, man, I just want to know what's in it for me. You know what? We all do, because we're human and we always like to know what's in it for us. Here's some of the benefits of you and I being involved in a biblical community. Here's the first one. Community creates protection. Creates protection. How's that work, Steve? If you're involved in biblical community and you are actually connecting in biblical community, whether that's here on a Sunday morning at 360 Church, or you're involved in a small group, or you're involved in a group of just three or four people, whatever that looks like for you, and you begin to drift, the first thing we do, humanly speaking, when you and I begin to drift is, guess what? 99.9% of the time, we start to pull away from what? Other people. And if you're involved in biblical community and you start to pull away from that biblical community, guess what? As biblical community, we ought to be chasing them back down and saying, listen, what's going on, Ernie? What's going on, man? I missed you. I haven't seen you in 2 weeks, brother. Something's going on. Hey, I love you. Let me walk with you. Let me pray for you. What? How can I help you? That's what protection does. Because when you're involved in biblical community and you begin to drift, and all of us there's just something in us sometimes that just pulls us away. I don't understand it. It's that sin nature that we have. It's that flesh that we have. We can get pulled away. But there's a protection. Why? Because people can come after us. Here's the second thing. Second benefit. Community creates support. Create support. So 12 days ago, I'm going to show you a picture up here. That's me. You probably figured that out. My son, and then our grandson. His son, my grandson. His name's Avon, rhymes with the bird Raven. I tell people that. 12 days ago, we got a call, and Jacob, my son, said, "Dad, we're going to the emergency room with Avon. Can you get here and watch the other kids?" So we jumped in the car and made a 15-minute trip in about 8 minutes. Thank you, God, for safety on that. And got there, and Avon was having seizures, never had one before. And they couldn't stop the seizures at the emergency room, so they had to sedate him, and then they put him on a helicopter, and they flew him to Fort Myers to Golisano Children's Hospital, where he remained for 2 days trying to figure out what was going on. They finally got the seizures stopped. They said, "Okay, you can go home. We think it was just based on a virus." It's been 12 days, 10 days since that point. He had a few more this past week, so they're going to go see an expert next week. But they brought him home about 10 days ago on Thursday morning, and Thursday afternoon, I want to show you this next picture. That's my son-in-law, Daniel, and our daughter, Aubrey. Aubrey's 23. We found out that Aubrey has choriocarcinoma. It's a type of cancer. It's a rough week, man. It's a rough week. That was 10 days ago. And last Sunday, Aubrey was singing on the worship team. "All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God." Let me tell you, Mom and Dad were weeping. I was weeping. I was snotting all over my shirt. I couldn't stop it. But you know who else was weeping? Two rows of people. Their small group. Because they were in community. Because they support one another, because they pray for one another, because they have been doing life together and they care so deeply about one another. And so this last week, as she started chemo, they've been dropping off meals, they've been dropping off goodie packages, they've been sending texts, they've been sending encouraging notes. She has gotten so much stuff from the community around her. Why? Because when you're in community, there is not only protection, but there is support. There is support. There's support. That's what community looks like. And here's the third thing. Community creates sight. See, it creates protection, it creates support, but it creates sight. It creates sight. What are you saying, Steve? I'm saying this. I know two people that are two young ladies that are both blind. They're wonderful young ladies, Sylvia and Jennifer. I've known Sylvia since I was probably 10 years old. I've known Jennifer for about 20 years now. And here's what Sylvia and Jennifer know. They both know that they're blind. They're legally blind. They cannot see. See, a physical person who is blind knows that they're blind. But here's what happens in our lives. Sometimes we're spiritually blind. And there are pockets in our lives. There are things in our lives that all of us can be blind to. So we have to intentionally create community so that those people around us can see us and go, "Wait a minute, hey, Steve, I'm seeing something. I don't know if it's going to go the wrong way. I don't know where it's going, but I need to tell you about something I'm seeing in your life that's consistent. And maybe you need to think about it. Maybe you need to pray about it. Maybe we need to talk about it." See, I can be blind to my own blindness. Spiritually speaking, I cannot see sometimes things in my life that I need to deal with. But when I allow other people into my life, and I have got them in my life, and I'm so incredibly grateful for those men in my life who are willing to look me in the eye and say, "Steve, I see something and I want to talk about it. I love you. I care about you. Can we talk about what I see?" I've invited those guys into my life and I need that. So community creates this protection, it creates this support, because we know we're all going to go through these seasons in our lives. Ours is happening right now, but it also creates sight. See, your relationship, my relationship, is designed by God to grow in community. And you and I will never fulfill the plan and the purpose that God has called any of us to, without community. So what do we do with that as I close this up today? Here's what we need to do. We need to get engaged in biblical community. Maybe you're already here, so you need to do that. What it says in parentheses, you need to stay engaged in biblically centered community. Maybe here, you're here today, and you, if you're honest with yourself, you're like, you know, Steve, I'm just kind of coming, sitting in a chair, and I'm walking out, and I'm really not engaged in biblical community. Can I encourage you that you need the protection of biblical community? That you need the support of biblical community? That you need the sight of biblical community? And can I take that even one step further? Can I encourage you today that the only way you will ever, ever, ever fulfill the plan and the purpose that God has for you is to have that in biblical community. You have biblical community walking with you, walking around you, loving you, caring for you, encouraging you, praying for you, supporting you, challenging you, building you up. All of those things that God has called us to do in biblical community. See, guess what? There isn't a plan B. God didn't create a plan B for us to grow. His plan is to be in community. Are you in community? Does anybody know the real you? Are you walking with other people? Are you peeling back the layer of your life and saying, you can look really into my heart, you can look into my mind, you can look into my daily habits? It's important because your relationship is designed by God to grow in community. Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I am so grateful to be able to stand in front of a group of people here at 360 or online and share your word. It is a gift that you've allowed me to be here today. But Heavenly Father, I know there are people in here that may not be involved in biblical community. And maybe they're struggling and they want to be involved in biblical community, but they're not, they haven't taken that risk yet. That risk to step in and allow other people into their lives. God, my prayer is today that if that person is sitting here, that they would realize that the risk is worth it. And that there are so many incredible benefits to being involved in biblical community. I pray, God, that if there are people here today or online and they are involved in biblical community, that this is a message that will take root and they will just be reminded that I want to stay in it. It is worth the cost. It is worth the effort. It is worth the sacrifice to be involved in biblical community. God, you created us to be involved in this community. You planned and purposed our lives so that we would be able to fulfill your calling in our lives in biblical community. And we love you and we praise you. And God, we need you because we cannot do it without you. Would you move our hearts? Would you move our minds? Would you pull us into a deeper relationship with you and a deeper relationship with one another? So that, Heavenly Father, we will actually not just go to church, but we will be the church to one another, and we will be the church to those in our world who desperately need to see Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us, and special thanks for those of you who give generously to make this ministry possible. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can also subscribe or share it with your friends. For more information about 360 Church, visit us at the360church.com.